Hello, everybody, and welcome to Street Fight Radio. It's Thursday at 8 p.m. You're tuning in to WCRS, so you're listening to the best anarcho-comedy radio show that there is in this state, country, planet, galaxy, intergalactic systems. Wherever you're at, you're listening to Street Fight Radio. We're happy to have you back. We're happy if you're here for the first time. We are here to... We're here to disrupt civil conversation, civil society that continues on with the bombings, that continues on with the oppression, that this tiny conversation between these groups of people that are deciding what everybody has to do, we want to reframe that in a different way, that, you know, it doesn't suck for us and for everyone else, so that 50% of us don't have $1,000 to our name. So that's what we're here to do each week. My name is Brett Payne. My co-host is Brian Quinby. And those of you that know, Street Fight hits hard at the issues that are going to change the face of the world as we know it towards a global society of partying and helping each other out, right?
Yep, that's what we do. We're trying to reframe the discussion, but we're also trying to be funny. We're just entertaining people. You know, that's why we really have a radio show.
Yeah, I just want to show off my bad accents that I do. And, you know, I'm not going to stop. I show up every single week to do them, and we'll continue to do so.
Yeah, my birthday this week was this weekend. So I got to choose dinner two nights, Brett.
And that's nice.
I picked some pretty stereotypical dinners. I got
hamburger. Hamburger.
Well, okay. Yeah, first night hamburger. Okay. I chose a bacon cheeseburger with my favorite. I like Western burgers. So, like, if you're, I went to the Chop House or Chop Shop. It's something like that. They make hamburgers there, and I like a burger with an onion ring, barbecue sauce and some bacon on it, and I don't eat them very much, but I got to have one yesterday. But like
special treat, like a special treat. Yeah, Burger King had those things for like a dollar for the longest time.
I used to get them a lot too. Like I that fed me for a few years. You know,
I used to do the first veggie burger that came out was Burger King. They were the first ones to jump on and like, yeah, we'll microwave a Morningstar patty if someone will pay for it. But I'd always get a veggie burger done up like a Western burger. So I'm right there with you. I like a sharp cheddar with the onion ring, just no guts or anything.
Yeah, no guts or anything. So there's a part of campus called the Gateway. And you have to drive through it to get there. And a big word, this big giant word that says gateway is neon. And my kid is doing a word association thing. You know, kids talk. That's what they do. When they're in the back of a car, they never stop talking.
And yeah, it's actually nice. I mean, my daughter does say a lot more, but she keeps herself so busy. Like, whereas she would... when she was in that younger stage, she wanted to always interact with me, like come play with me. Now she has so much to say, she can make up dialogue for all kinds of fake friends and people in her room.
In yeah.
Her breakfast nook that we call a room.
Yeah. So my kid, she sees the word gateway. She's like, gateway drug. And I was like, what now? You guys know how I feel about
dad started steaming at the ears, huh? Old political dad, rad dad's getting mad. What kind that of propaganda perfect... are they putting in your head at those schools? You sound like you're in the MK Ultra program.
Yeah, do I sound like when a conservative dad gets mad because they're learning evolution? Though
they told you about Islam. This is unreal. We have to sign permissions for that type of thing.
Yeah, the only thing is like gate.
Go ahead.
I'm the only thing is like gateway drug is okay. Don't teach that anymore. That's one thing I'm saying.
That's your first, that's the only reason that you spoke up. We're like, oh, they're still teaching that cruddy old thought?
Yeah, that they're still teaching that thing that nobody in the world really believes. You know? Well, I mean, I guess there are people that really believe it, but that's because the police lied to them when they were like in fourth grade.
Yeah, I mean, that is the thing. They form those the foundations of what most people think. And so, yeah, I think there are a lot of people that consider it like once you start messing around, you know, it's just going to lead down a terrible path.
So, like, when I was in my last semester in college, I took all those criminology classes that I'm always bringing up. And I took a juvenile delinquency class and then a criminology class. And in both of those classes, I had to read, like, study after study about when you start studying drugs and especially, like, youth drug use, how DARE just didn't work. It's like DARE didn't work. And first of all, I wasn't surprised to know that.
Yeah, everybody that came out of DARE knew it was wrong. I don't know what you're supposed to, I mean, no one, I think, goes back to change that, but yeah, definitely not surprising. And I have read a multitude of write-ups where people are just like, this is, I mean, it's obvious this thing is not doing anything to help.
Yeah.
It's like, well, abstinence doesn't work. Like, they can just literally show you how what it does after you start doing, after you implement these programs.
Abstinence only education. It's that's basically what DARE was, is abstinence only education.
Yeah, because if you touch that stuff, you're on a slippery slope through a gateway to heroin addiction and then an early grave at 27, yeah, on top of the world because you have a rock band.
Yeah. So, like, I started kind of explaining, like, yeah, most people that use hard drugs tend to have tried marijuana because it's a pretty benign thing. And, you know, every time we talk about it like this, I also say, like, don't use it. Just, actually today I said, you know, you're going to be 18, 19, 20 someday. You're going to try it. Probably. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to be, I know I have a friend whose mom was like, you're going to try it someday, and made him smoke weed at 14. So no. you don't want to force him. You don't want to keep like saying to him like, yeah, do it. You're going to do it. Why don't you just do it already? Like, it's an option. Yeah. It'll be an option. You'll deal with that stuff later. You don't need to not when you're a kid.
Yeah. And don't give. Yeah. Just don't do it when you're a kid. It's a bad idea. You know, because I was in a conversation last night about, because I had just watched Straight Outta Compton, I was explaining the first time I ever heard the first time I had ever heard NWA in my life. And it was when I was 12 years old and I was at a party and I was hanging out with some older kids. And I was like, it was actually a really pivotal night in my life. It was one of those moments that kind of changed the way I saw the world. And they're like, what else happened? And I said, well, I heard NWA, and it was also the first time I got high. And I was 12 years old. And, like, I found out when I was 12 years old that everything those people said was a lie. Like, everything, I graduated from DARE, but I figured out that my degree was a sham, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't. And the other thing is, you've even mentioned that you tried acid before that. So it doesn't, one didn't lead to another. I mean, people are going to brush up into the things that they do, but there's no, the slippery slope idea is such an outdated opinion, you know?
So I started like probing, because that's what I do all the time when my kid starts talking about something new that I haven't heard her talk about, you know? If she's into Egypt, if they're studying Egypt at school, I'm like, well, tell me something about Egypt. I'd like to hear what you learned about Egypt. Maybe you could tell me something about Egypt that I didn't know about.
Yeah, show me your work. Let's show our homework to each other and see what we got.
Yeah. So I started asking her more questions, and I said, so what class do you learn about this in? And she said, health. And I said, okay, that's a good class to teach about drugs, I think. And I think I question teaching about it in fifth grade. Like I question even making kids worry or drawing their attention. Nobody's offering fifth graders drugs, really.
Yeah, I mean, in the sensationalist world of, like, you know, the hellscape of liberal America, I guess drug dealers are out there looking for 10-year-olds. But you're right. I mean, it is like one of those things where to address it with that age is like you've introduced them to it. They had no idea people were popping Molly. They dance to the songs about them, and they don't have any idea what cocaine is. And then you bring in this cop to show it all to them and tell them about it. And then, you know, there's that group of people that are like, well, now I want that. Not because I want a gateway drug, but because I'll try anything. Like, I'll try this stuff. I don't, you know, I'm at a place where I want to try it. For me, I was the same way. I mean, I felt lied to. I smoked weed when I was 12, and that's when I first heard ICP for the first time. So that definitely forked my road for a while. But this was only because I had a really bad babysitter that would go hang around this dude because he was always smoking. And so, but that was a one-time thing, and then I kind of left it alone. You know, it was just a weird, dysfunctional thing. We moved away. I moved to another city. So I left all of that environment. And, didn't smoke it again until after high school because I was just thought that the people that did it were losers and rejects and usually did, you know, weren't that impressive to me. They weren't they weren't very good representations of drug users. But when I did smoke it and got into it at 19, I just felt like completely lied to. And maybe it wouldn't have been more of a gateway drug. Like, I wouldn't have then been like, wait, so I want to do mushrooms now. Like, if weed is this safe, I want to do mushrooms now. I want to do acid. I want to do mescaline. I want to try coke. I want to try all the stuff because they told me this stuff gets people killed and that it's sold by these nefarious criminals. But everybody I know that's selling this stuff is like the nicest, coolest person in the world. So, like, you're setting them up for a huge amount of fail. Like, you're setting them up for them to feel betrayed. All these adults that lied to them, especially all the adults that did all the drugs, too.
You're also painting an inaccurate picture of the world a lot of times. I mean, like, I remember one of the things that Dare really pounded into your head was that, like, look, buddy, you're 10 years old now. People are going to start offering you drugs.
You're going to middle school next year, and everyone's up there is tripping on goofballs, and you don't want to get caught up in that stuff. We have to scrape up kids off the floor once a week from what that mess of a drug is creating. They made it seem like a war zone. They really did seem like you were going to get – like kids were going to shove you down. Like, they show you those videos where kids are getting shoved down and, like, drugs are put in their mouth.
Yeah, and it just – it was harder for me to find them up until you're like 15 or 16. They're almost impossible to find. And the only reason anybody's looking at them is because somebody asked you about them or somebody taught you about them. But another thing about the thing that made me crazy, kind of, that when I heard about my kid being taught about it, was that, like, why have a cop teach it? Like, the cop is not a teacher. Like the cop doesn't have a teaching certificate.
No, the cop is, I mean, very biased in this too. I mean, he has a one-sided, he sees drug use from one side where he has his gun pointed at people that use drugs. So even he's in there, not even really realize what he's doing. And, you know, setting up the foundation of what kids are going to think about drugs, some of them for the rest of their life. I mean, you meet 80-year-old people that are still hard on crime and drugs, even though for centuries there's been people like us trying to spread the news that, like, it's all wrong and it's just racism and all these other weird things. It's not like if you touch drugs your life is going to be ruined.
So I'm going to tell you a story about me and drugs lately. Okay, I've been addicted to a few drugs recently, and I'm going to tell you about it, Brett. Because I think this is something that the people from the show need to hear. I think we need to be open about our lives.
That's what's gotten us this far, and that's what we've only claimed to be. It's completely honest.
Yeah. So for 3 years, probably, which I know it says not to do more than 2 weeks, I've been taking Prilosec. You know what that is, Brett, right?
The old heartburn meds? Have too many chili dogs?
But you take it every single day to just reduce the amount of acid in your stomach.
Which... That way you can have like a crackling shrimp breakfast, you can have chili for lunch, and then get yourself a bacon cheeseburger for dinner. And still and not have your body reject it all.
No, not even have to face any consequences really for eating it.
piling a barnyard platter of three different pulled meats and a half rack of ribs and eating that and then being like, that was great. I feel energized.
Yeah. So I had been getting down to like a weight that I was not too terribly hateful of. And then I got kind of depressed and I started eating a lot more. And when I got to the end of it, I was like, when I got to the new year this year, okay, you just got to start eating a little better.
Yeah, like and I said, eat sensibly for 2016. Yeah. Sensible eating.
Yeah, so I did start doing it really well. And like, I kind of was like, well, I don't think I'm going to get heartburn from carrots. I don't know if I'm going to get...
They don't create as much of a disruption in the stomach as, you know, a pile of Scrapple does.
Yeah, apples and oatmeal for breakfast isn't nearly as bad as, you know, like some sausage with queso on it.
Yeah, it's a little bit lighter fare than hash browns that are covered, hashed, and smashed, and... Yeah, all of that. Burt's chili on hash browns. A little different makeup chemically, I think, there.
I made biscuits and chorizo gravy one time.
That's a rich meal. That's when you're not going to get up for the rest of the day.
So I'm not feeling... Like, I was feeling terrible, and I kind of felt like I needed to change the way I eat. So I was like, you know what? I don't think I need this Prilosec anymore. I'm going to stop taking it, Brett. And this is a legal drug. I can go and buy it at the store. I don't need a prescription. Nobody points a gun at me if I try to buy it. I don't have to buy it from a dealer.
Yeah, the OTC stands for over-the-counter, right?
Yes. So I stopped taking it. And last week I felt pretty great when we were recording the podcast, when we did Street Fight. And the Smoke Session podcast that we do, the uncensored one, I felt pretty good. I think I even brought it up.
Yeah, well, you were basically whistling about it, like just loving life.
Yeah. So about the end of last week on Friday, my stomach started to hurt really bad. Like, I'm trying to, I want to articulate the type of pain I was feeling. It was just, I had a kidney stone once, and I thought I might have a kidney stone, number one, or I thought I was dying. I thought I really probably needed to go to the hospital, because when you're in the, it was kind of that level of pain where you're like, oh, this might not be the good kind. This might not be the, like, you had a hamburger pain, you know?
This is when you start thinking about mortality. And, like, your body can turn on you, like, hey, man, this whole scenario, this whole thing is all set up because this body runs, and I think it's falling apart. You know, it's like when your car goes bad on you and you can't believe it.
Yeah, and I hadn't eaten anything big like that in 2 weeks at least. And I did. I ate a bacon cheeseburger with an onion on it. So I just thought I was being punished for that, you know? And I kind of figured, like, well, heartburn will be my punishment for eating badly, you know? Like, sure. And that'll keep me, that'll give me extra incentive not to eat bad. Because I got to be honest, I think Prilosec maybe enabled me, helped me to gain weight.
Yeah, it gave you that competitive edge you needed to get that belly from lifting those forks and knives so hard.
Yeah, well, I was able to. I was able to have, like, chips and queso or pizza rolls before I went to bed because I knew in the morning I was going to take a pill that was going to make it all right, you know.
Silence all that nonsense. in your gut. You can have a jalapeno pizza and go directly to bed.
Yeah, you're allowed to do that. So I started to go online and do the research on it. They said you have to wean off of it, Brett. Like, you got to, you know, slow the use down. You can't just
no quit. Cold turkey? Like, so you're hooked on, You just found out you were hooked on drugs. You thought you thought it was a mental thing. It turns out your body is like, no, we need that to eat, Brian. We love Prilosec.
Yeah. The last time I was hooked on drugs, I also felt really terrible when I didn't have any of them, you know, and that was when I was taking painkillers.
Well, yeah, that's the premise of cigarettes, is that people always say, like, oh, I just need to go smoke. It'll make me feel better. It'll make you feel better because your body is starting to make you feel horrible for not having cigarettes in it. The cigarette, like, that's what, so now it's punishing you for not having it in there. Like the drug sets it up in a way so that you have to have it. Like, you are being used like in a symbiotic relationship now.
Yeah.
Where this thing has found a place to live inside your system, and it needs you to feed on pot roasts and sausage bars.
So the next thing, so that is a second thing. That's two things now that I take. Cause now I'm taking another thing to get me through the withdrawals.
The DTs, get rid of your DTs. That's pretty intense. It's hard to, I don't know, man. It's hard to put in, it's hard to like wrap your head around it that there are other people that are also are dealing with this, you know, but we don't ever really talk about it.
That are addicted to drugs, you mean? There are other people that are addicted to drugs like Prilosec? They're absolutely addicted. If the feeling is, if I don't get this drug, I'm going to feel sick. They're addicted to that drug, you know. That's what they call it. That's what they call it with heroin or any kind of opiate, you know, or opioid.
Yeah, and there are so many holes and hypocrisies. Like, I think that the problem with this is that you have people afraid to do anything else. No one wants to actually sit down and talk to their kids about drugs in a way that says, like, some people have bad times on them. Or, you know, the best way that I've heard it is, you know, a tree, when it's really young, can be, if you put a swing on it, it will bend right over, right in half. It can't support the weight. It's still growing. But once it grows big enough, that tree can hold it. You know, once you, like when I heard, when our friends that we gave, I gave mushrooms to, took them, they were like, we did them when we were 16, and I don't think we were anywhere near ready or understood what was happening, and it felt like it was a horrible experience. And now that I've lived my life and took them, like, it changed everything, you know, like shines a new light on things. You know, there's just, it's one of those, some, you know, not teenagers are going to do it. I'm not mad. I'm not like one of those authoritarians, but I'm also not afraid to say to people, like, don't feel pressure to do it. If you don't want to do it, it's not the coolest thing. Some people will do it, and a lot of you should wait. A lot of you, you know, well, so if you aren't naturally drawn into it, don't go seek it out.
Well, some of the, I guess, like, maybe remove some of the shame, you know.
Yeah.
But finding out the strangest thing about it to me is finding out that my kid is being taught in a health class by a cop.
Yeah, like, not even taught. I mean, this is kind of a legal agreement. I mean, they're reading the law to your daughter is what they're going in there, and they're telling all these kids, giving them a standard education that says, guys, if you do this stuff, there are punishments. And they're doing this at an age when these kids are really vulnerable, and maybe they don't talk to their parents. They definitely don't talk to their parents like you, the way that you do, or the way that I would mention it, you know? And, you know, it's a horrible environment when you think about it, and you think DARE is over, but this is all DARE was too. So they just tore down the shop and opened it up with a different name.
They just got rid of the name and kept doing it. Yeah. And like, I feel good that I'm able to talk to my kid, because Like, they really kind of some of the ways they teach is very like all drug. Everybody that gets on drugs is sad, you know. Everybody that gets on drugs is either sad or ends up dead. And it's like, so what are you setting up even in the psyche of the people, the kids that inevitably are going to try them? You're not, we know it doesn't work. So all you're doing is harm.
Yeah. Well, it was even with the raves, man. With the raves when I was coming up, there was all these deaths that were happening, and it's because no one was telling these kids to drink water. If you're going to be dancing all night and taking speed, that you need to drink a lot of water, you know, and you don't drink alcohol because that's going to dehydrate you. So you have a lot of kids that, you know, as unfortunate it is I think that, you know, it's these people that their heart breaks that a child wants to do drugs, because I think tied into, like you said, they see it as a sadness. These kids want to party and they're going to do it, and they could be, if they were allowed to call the police and not get trouble, not go to minimum mandatory sentences, if they didn't have to worry about stigmas, if they're alive, they wouldn't lose college fundings. If it wasn't set up to be one of the worst possible things, you know, we could have a different relationship, you know, with the drugs, and it would be just healthier. It's just healthier and more obvious. I feel like it's crazy that a bunch of adults are standing around and letting a cop do that. It is. It seems it's one of those moments where just like, why isn't anybody speaking up about this?
I could really give a good, I think I could give a great course to kids. I think I know how to talk about it. It really, it's just as simple as saying, like, some of you are going to do it. Some of you aren't going to do it. Don't do it now. Okay. Just give it some time. Give your brain some time to develop, and then we'll start talking about it and thinking about it.
I had a pretty great teacher. I don't know if he was a great teacher. He was a character. He was like one, like from a Beavis and Butthead. He had a really gravelly voice. He was a wrestling coach, and the way that he only liked to be the wrestling coach. But then they said like they couldn't just pay for coaches. You had to be a teacher too. So he taught health. And he was pretty straightforward because he was like a 1970s tough guy. And I remember at one moment he said to some girl like, Heather, what is out there right now? What are people doing? What should they be looking out for? And then this girl was just like, well, if your pills are really soft, then that's probably bad because it was really crappy when I did that. And it was just like, so know what you're getting and make sure that it's good stuff. And he was like this and that. And he was pretty straightforward about it. He was kind of jokey and he would tell everybody not to do them. But I felt like he was pretty fair about it in some ways. There was also one time.
Honest.
Yeah. And then one time a girl raised her hand and said something along the lines of, but really the only way to prevent STDs is to be abstinent. And then he was like, well, sweetheart, that's not going to happen with any of the animals in this classroom.
I want that teacher. I would take that teacher's class right now.
I mean, he was a character. He was a good guy and he was a straight shooter, but you know, I mean, we have to talk to our kids about this stuff. It's like the way that we fetishize like female sexuality, how you and me having daughters, how odd people are about like, oh, she's gonna grow up and have sex someday, and you're like, yeah, like every woman does, like part of life, you know. But that like we like shield it from like 12 to 18 and treat it into this like fantasy type thing that no one's allowed to talk about, you know. Sex education and amongst kids is something else that doesn't happen. There's no real discussions. And so we have this weird American puritanical nightmare that we always get stuck with, which is like the least amount that anyone will do, but that someone can still make a buck off of.
Yeah, that's funny. I always think about, I've been having a lot of thoughts about like what I let my kid watch, you know, because first of all, my parents couldn't shield me from anything, Brett. There was just no shielding. And this was pre-internet, you know?
And it was tough. Yeah, I know. I was thinking about that, too. I shared a movie, Leon the Professional. But and I was reminiscing and thinking that, yeah, to see some of this stuff, you had to take a lot of effort to view some, you know, a lot of media.
But you got your hands on it, you know? And my kid, like... I don't shield her. I don't shield her from sex, especially. Now, I, like, you know, I don't encourage her to see it. And I try to kind of go out of my way to say, let's not watch this. If it's like, you know, I'm not going to watch a sex comedy with her. But I'm not going to avoid a comedy if it has some sex jokes in it, you know?
Yeah, and, it's on a queasiness level, your dad queasiness level.
Yeah, and like, but I don't let her watch like The Walking Dead. We haven't let her watch Jessica Jones because there's a lot of really violent death in it. And I'm starting to like, I've talked to people and taken heat for that. Like that, it's maybe better that you let them watch. You don't expose them to these things. But I'm like, I got to tell you the truth, man. I would rather have an open relationship and just expose her to whatever. And except for violence, because it's not necessary to see. Not like nobody needs to see violence, you know.
It's not an essential part of growing up. Like, well, we got to get a couple hours of violence in this week so you can know about the real world, kid. The world of blood and guts and fighting.
Yeah, Saving Private Ryan. You have to watch Saving Private Ryan to know some of the things that happen, you know. But like, I feel like if you're open about it, then it becomes something that they might be comfortable to talk to you about, you know. If they're struggling with or thinking about it or something like that, and you would much rather have that than like hiding it from them and making it like a really unhealthy thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I get in the same way when my Charlotte was around. We were watching the Malcolm X movie, and at the end when he gets assassinated, like I popped up really quick and stood in front of the TV because, you know, that's not her thing. She's a little too young to see some of that stuff because it's just abstract to her at this point. So, I mean, I know what you're saying. I think that, you know, there's actively keeping them from it, and then I think just they're not interested in some of it. And maybe won't be until they're older. Like, maybe she won't be into it until she is that 15 or 16, you know, when it makes more sense. I mean, right now, you're still young age, you know, it's still, there's a lot to go as far as maturing goes in these,
yeah.
You know. So, I don't know. It's just... The amount of time that me and you put into it and even trying to figure it out and trying to be fair about it is just to see how many people just slide into yelling at kids and they have to listen to what parents say. It just makes me so mad.
I can't yell. I actually had an experience today, Brett. I went to drop her off or I had to go pick her up at the library after I got off of work. So I went to go pick her up and I was texting her like, where are you at? And she didn't answer. I said, where are you at? And she didn't answer again. And I'm sitting out of the car waiting about 5 minutes. And that's too long. You know, don't make me wait out in the car for 5 minutes. Especially cause I gave an almost there text, you know, if you send somebody a text that says almost there, then they better be ready within like a minute of you getting there.
Standing, you know? At the, waiting outside preferably, but standing at the door at least, looking out the window.
Yeah. And so I finally got there. I sent another text that said here. Nothing. It says delivered though, which that's, you know, so I know she got it. I know it made it to her phone. And I'm sitting in my car for like 5 minutes and nothing happens. Nothing. She doesn't come out of the building or anything. So I have to go in and look for her. Okay. Which is annoying because I can't text her and say, where are you at when I get in the library? Because she's not seeing or answering the texts, you know? So I finally found her. And when I got in the car, I was irritated because I'm allowed to get irritated about something like that. I was perfectly reasonable to get irritated for a 10-minute ordeal. Right, Brett?
Yeah, I can see why you would just be like, why couldn't this could run a lot smoother. You need to run a smoother ship.
You had a phone. That's the thing about the phone is like, look, if I get you a phone, You got to, I am a priority. You need to answer the phone for me. That has to happen every time. And if it doesn't happen every time, Brett, I don't even get mad about it. You know, but sometimes I do.
Yeah. You guys, it's just to keep her informed. You got to stay informed of what's going on and be on my side and just make these things run smoothly. That's how I do that, man, to my daughter. I am already way into that where I'm just like, okay, so either you go and brush your teeth and then we go to bed, or you go to timeout and then you brush your teeth and then you go to bed. So which one sounds better? You know, which one is just easier to get it over with? And she always chooses just to go brush her teeth. She would rather not stop throwing the fit and go to timeout.
Man, I'm impressed with you for being able to do timeout. I was never able to do timeout.
It's and the that's greatest, probably, man.
That's probably a symptom of the end of this story, you know, because like what ended up happening was we're in the car and I'm doing my parenting philosophy, which is try to teach her what the real world consequences for being inconsiderate are. You know what I mean? Instead of contriving a punishment where like you were inconsiderate, now you're not allowed to use your phone for 3 days.
Now you gotta do chores.
So to make the punishment, in my opinion, is to be like, now you got to deal with me for 10 minutes being irritated about it and complaining. I complained about it, you know, because I'm allowed to, because I've been wronged and I'm a complainer. So I complained about it. Yeah. And
That's a fair core. I think that's a fair shot. I mean, you wasted 10 minutes of my time. I'm going to waste yours right back, especially if I'm the driver.
Yeah. Yes. It was only while we were in the car. Once we got home, she could have ran away from me and been annoyed. So she got mad at me for complaining at her, Brett.
And unreasonable. You know, like that's what you need to say to the court. Like, just you can't talk anymore, kid. The court says you can't talk anymore.
So what I did was apologize for making her mad. And negated the whole thing. You know what I mean? My whole theory of punishment was negated by apologizing, because her child brain, her kid mind, means she won. I had wronged her for being irritated.
Yeah, well, yeah, you are tactical. I don't know. You're kind of, it's kind of, you're, that's just your roller coastery ways, where like you got your 10 minutes of yelling in, you got your roast session in on her, and so then you're like, I'm done with it. Now she's all mad about it. Well, I'm sorry I made you feel all mad. You know, like you're just like trying to move on to the next thing. So, I mean, I understand that's a real response.
I want to say that I talked to her later about it. And I said, let's just pretend that you have your friend from work, your friend pick you up from work someday when you have a job. And they get there to work, and you make them sit out in the car for 10 minutes because you weren't paying attention to your phone when they said they were going to be there. And, of course, she didn't understand it, but that's what I'm trying to get through to her, is that, like, people get annoyed. If you annoy people a lot, then they don't want to be around you. So if you like somebody, try not to annoy them.
Yeah. You're right. Make it easy. Make things easy. I don't know. I feel like I don't mind waiting. I really don't. Like, the phone is fine enough for me to sit down. I watch a dang movie on it. I don't really care. I also have, I got grandfathered into unlimited data. So that is something that I have on my side. But I also think.
What? No, no. Waiting in the car, it's not about the. It's not about whether I could keep myself entertained in the car. It's that I'd rather be at my house or wherever we're headed to after this, you know?
No, I understand. I got you. No, I get it. It's definitely not paying attention to the phone is, I mean, that's just where we're at. I mean, she's got to keep up. If she wants it, she got to use it. And my wife, she does answer. I made her answer. You can't have, it's, you got to have, make people turn their read receipts on and then make them accountable, because people got to do stuff. And you guys
100% agree.
Stop doing that. I'll answer that text later and then never answering it.
Yeah, and put your read receipts on. Put your listen, don't take them off. Be who you are, you know? You know, if somebody, if Terry texts you at 5:35, then let him know that you read it, and maybe you'll get back to him later, you know?
I'm going to think this over. I'm going to chew on this a little bit, and I'll get back to you. I'm going to really tear into it at 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. You can, I mean, I'm bad because, it's not bad. I put my phone on the floor, so there's no possible way I could know if I get a notification.
I have the same philosophy, though, as you, is my, I'm always trying to teach my kid about, like, just being cool with other people. Like, just respect, yes. Like, it's about... respect everybody here, you know. It's like we don't throw tantrums because other people don't want to hear tantrums. Like, that's part of it. A little bit of peer pressure in there to be like, you're not the center of the universe, you know. And even to me, like, even though I fawn over you and treat you like a golden idol, like, you have to say please to me when you get asked for milk every single time. Like, I don't ever get milk for people that don't say please to me. And I even started making Erica say please to me just so that it's a good, so that way Charlotte will follow along. I feel the same way. Erica always would be like asking me to jump. And here's the thing, I'm a high energy guy, and even when I smoke, I even get even more. And if somebody mentions something, I'll just spring up and do it. Like, what do you need, a towel? And then I'll just run and sprint back. I don't even bring, like, the bag of food to the couch. I will grab a couple chips and go back into the kitchen and run back and forth. So I'm fine with it. But if you're going to use me as your arms and legs, please and thank you is what keeps this engine running.
Please and thank you are welcome here. You
need yeah, to get that very sign. Much so. Very much so.
You need to get that sign up there. No, I agree, man.
My daughter is the most polite kid. She says hi to everybody. She blesses people when they sneeze. She says, what's your name? So I think that, I mean, that's the biggest change that I can see about the parenting style that I had, which was that everybody else was awful and scary slobs. And we were better than them in some way.
Mine mostly looks at her phone. Mine's most of the time looking at her phone unless I'm trying to get a hold of her to tell her I'm in the car waiting outside of the library for her.
Yeah, then all of a sudden she's not doing a new karaoke video on the Musical.ly app.
I know, that Musical.ly app is something. All the kids are doing it. I gotta get on there.
You can check me out, at Brett Payne, BRETTPAYNE. See my Post Malone White Iverson performance on there. I think I got my Travis Scott antidote. No, that's something else. Gwen got me into it. She sent me a thing on Snapchat and said, join Musical.ly. And I saw how much she posts on there, and I was like, good God. But that makes sense, because my sister was, and I was too, obsessed with pop music when I was that age. Like, just singing it all day long. The best song. Everybody knows the words to the songs. And so, like, we all do the end of this together, you know? And we love just singing the same songs all day.
Yeah. It's when my kid is at the age that most people really remember vividly and have nostalgia for. You know,
yeah, she said, yeah, she's in the sweet doe-eyed stage too, where she's like still has innocence, and then yeah, she's getting to go through full blown like, this is, you know, you're really gonna find out who you are for, you know, after this, and have to get started. And like, the other thing is like, being around when she's crappy, like when your daughter is just obnoxious and maybe not taking care of herself. Not to say this is going to happen, but it happened in my life and your life. And a lot of young people I know that graduate college and just live a slovenly life, you know, trying to manage the career and all of the mature adult stuff, like laundry and dishes and all of that, is overwhelming for everybody. Like, it's a farce that anyone keeps up with that, you know, people. And so – to even be around and see that kind of stuff and have a different reaction than when it, like, the same way that we have with the drugs and with, because, you know, Gwen sees me, like, smoke vape all the time on Snapchat and do videos and stuff. Like, I make jokes, weed jokes a lot. So I know knows that's a part of who I am. But, you know, no, I don't know where that. What's that?
She knows that's a part of everybody.
Right.
That,
yeah.
That she's around.
True. But I'm in that social media environment though. And like, and where she's at and, you know, it's still the same stuff. It's the same activities, you know, it's just a different way of doing it.
Yeah. And it really is like the best. I feel I'm starting to think that the best way to teach people how to get along with people is to treat kids the same way we treat other people, you know, because like the consequences of doing the consequences, the social sanctions probably work 10 times better than a corporal punishment or whatever crazy idea people come up with for like. Now you do 47 extra chores this week. Or like, here's the jar where you got to put your money in, the swear jar or something. How many percent, what do you think the percentage is of kids that aren't allowed to swear anymore? Because I can't imagine parents not letting their kids, just not being like, I don't care, you know?
Well, I think that it's more just a tighter policing is what I know. I just think that people are like, you know, don't overuse it. You know, like nobody stands around and screams F-bomb, F-bomb, F-bomb around here. So you can't do that. You can't do it at the grocery store. I don't want you doing it in front of people and making, you know, like there's just, it's just, there's rules to it. And, you know, it's more well-defined, I guess, now.
Yeah.
People aren't also shocked by it. Like, we aren't shocked by it anymore. Like, someone screams the F-bomb, it doesn't matter. But, you know, kids are still going to, you know, talk the way that we talk because we don't police our own language because we don't feel like we should. And the people that told us to were lying cussers as well, that were just hypocrites.
There were people, I mean, I think there was a time in the country where there was a ton of people that were like, I'm not going to cuss. I shan't ever. I'll bet they remind me of the people that have never, Penn Jillette. Guys like Penn Jillette that are like, I've never had a drink or a drug or a cigarette in my entire life. And it's like, man, so you just like, none of them? You're just, you just were like, nah, I don't want to try that. I'm not interested.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, but he gets another point of pride that we don't ever get. Like, he gets to run around and pretend like he's better than everybody. And
well, that's why
build a whole, like, soapbox for that.
Gene Simmons does the same thing. It's like, dude, you're a scuzzbag, though. Everything about you is scuzzy, so who cares? You know,
yeah,
that's
matter
not
how
a feather
pure that
cap.
Garbage factory is. It doesn't matter how purely run that filth factory is.
That garbage factory. Trump, I think, is another guy that does that. It's always like the most obnoxious people are the ones that say, I never tried a drug or a cigarette or a beer in my entire life. I can't imagine how somebody from like Penn Jillette's time could have not tried a cigarette.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. There's tons of, you know, he's just an anomaly and gets to use it for his claim to fame.
A lot of guys that say that too are always like, they're kind of like showing that they're a rock star, but they can also be like clean too, you know? Like, I'm still crazy though.
Yeah, I don't care. I mean, they're losers for me, so it doesn't matter. I don't know why they don't have anything to brag about, and I'm not really concerned with how, because they're awful.
Well, Penn Jillette isn't the worst though. People that know magic, everything about Penn Jillette sucks, except for the magic. I think people that know magic are kind of cool. And you can make fun of me all you want. If you do choose to make fun of me for saying that people that know magic are cool, I'd like you to teach me some magic, because you obviously know it.
That's true. That is true. I mean, I'm with you. I think magic is cool. I I love to get. I'm definitely thinking about getting some magic in my life because we have some kids that it's like the perfect age for, and you can do just the most simplest things and blow their minds.
No way! You should learn magic, man. That's perfect. Why don't you? Why haven't you been learning magic? Why haven't you been learning sleight of hand?
Tarnish my image. But I have been a magic kid ever since I was obsessed with Harry Houdini when I was in elementary school. I wrote every paper I could about him and had chains to wrap up my wrists. I had so many magic sets all the way up until like when I was in my 20s. I was into magic still, like high level card tricks. Like I was really good at doing card flourishes and shit where you flip them in the, I knew the S was coming in. 50 minutes, but card flourishes, all that stuff. I wanted to try to be like a magician at like a restaurant or something. I thought that I would do that as a hobby.
That would be great. I went to a restaurant where there was a magician, and that was not too bad. There's a shop in Columbus, at least, across the street from the Al Rosa Villa, the place that killed Dimebag Darrell. But it's like a right across the street from there. I believe it's a magic store where you can buy some real tricks, Brett. Not like those Bobo tricks you got from the Targets or from Spencer's.
I spent real money. I would go to the magic shop and get the real stuff. Like I would not do flame fingers, make hankies disappear, dancing wands, all that stuff. All the magic. The raven, the gold coins floating in the air, flying cards, all of it.
I'm so mad that you've known this since I've known you, and you've never even, like, we worked, we entertained people together. I would have been, man.
I would never do magic, dude. It's too corny. I can't do magic, man. It's not my,
no.
I just don't like, it's just not my thing.
Why don't you do insurrectionary magic?
I should. Like, I should just do sleight of hand to, like, steal stuff. Like, I used to steal that way a lot. Like, I knew how to hide things and how to get things out of stores by doing like magic kind of coin tricks. JB Bobo, The Art of Coin Magic. That's like a book you can get on Amazon for $4 and you can do like 100 tricks with just like a few coins. And so that type of stuff. I would do that to make GameCube games disappear at Blockbuster so that way I could go home and play.
You're like the magicians from that movie, Now You See Me.
I don't know Now You See Me.
It's a movie about magicians that rob a bank.
Oh, I don't know. That sounds wild and awesome.
Yeah, you'd love it, man. But,
yeah, I just, you know, man, I'm a really compartmentalized thing. And so I knew that you would never be interested in magic at all, so that's why I would never bring it up to you. That's kind of how I am about even the Star Wars thing, and a lot of the stuff I complain about is, like, the things that I like, and I keep into myself, and I don't force or make or get other people involved with them if I don't think they have any interest. I'm like a crowd pleaser. Like, I know my audience and can read the room. And, you know, for the past 10 years, no one has, I think, been interested in seeing a magic trick.
Oh, but maybe I'll
try. I'm
going
to try to bust some out.
I'm going to get you a hanky to make come out of
your
sleeve.
Oh, dude, disappearing hanky is so easy. And if you do it with dollar bills, I mean, just all night at a bar with drunk people, you can get so much money that way.
Do it with a Che, like a flag with Che on it or something, like Che Guevara or something on it. That'll add the political message to your magic, and then your magic won't be corny anymore.
It'll have a message. Okay. I mean, yeah, maybe we can tweak this into something. I've never created my own tricks. I've only just went and paid for them. That's what I think funny too, is that the tricks, like doing magic is really just having money, because it's like, yeah, you can go buy it from a guy that'll show you how to execute it perfectly. All you got to do is pay the price. And if it's a nice trick, the price goes up. You know, the better the trick, the more the money it's going to cost.
But people that look like you don't do like that classical kind of magic. We're going to be rich off this magic thing.
There was used to be a good podcast, video podcast, I watched on my Microsoft Zoom back in like 2007. It was a Revision 3, and it was called Scam School, and it was this like kind of supposed to be edgy, ruddy bearded fella that did like bar magic that always had people going nuts.
Oh my God, I love this. I love that you know this stuff. Like, that's college right there, that you learned magic.
But it's useless. Well, I guess it is like, it's like other people did other studies of other things.
It makes me sick that you think that it's useless.
I don't want it. I watched that movie Inside Out. I think that's the greatest movie I've seen from 2015. And there's this part where they show these parts of people's lives are like these gigantic islands inside of their minds that occupy so much time and space and energy. And then they just fall away. And those are like just things that I don't know. It's just gone. Like, that's just left my being.
Man, it would have never left my, I guess that's not true, because I learned how to play a significant amount of Rage Against the Machines songs sure. on the electric guitar.
Yeah, that happened. Yeah, that's one that really sucks. Giving up on instruments is a big regret. I still hold out hope for getting back in, but yeah, agreed.
But I'm definitely gonna
hit you with a trick now, though. You know it's coming. I'm gonna make something disappear at my daughter's birthday. I'm gonna make Charlotte disappear for everybody.
What if we do a live show where you do a magic trick and I play Killing in a Name Of
okay.
on a guitar?
Okay. It's like some sort of art piece about like referencing who we were at one point in our life, like our old selves, our old husks of our old selves, lost ideas and dreams, right?
Well, as kind of a thing.
This
where
is where
like,
I left off, and I'll be doing like some fumbly magic while you stare at your fingers and try to like wonk through the song offbeat.
Well, I just end up playing like Too Many Puppies by Primus, which is really easy, or Smoke on the Water. It's like, okay, man, I forgot how to play this song.
Oh, shoot. Just look down at it. Keep looking. Shoot. Hold on. Hold on. That one.
And then you're right next to me, because this will be like a spectacular show. You're right next to me, and you're like making a napkin disappear, but you just keep going like, hold on. Pretend like you didn't say, hold on 1 second. Let's do it again.
This just sounds like the most frustrating live. This is like the most frustrating live appearance, like live event that we could ever come up with. Like, I think we nailed it. Like something Kaufman-esque here that would just drive people mad.
I'll bet you $50 that we could get this in an art gallery sometime for Gallery Hop. We'll be like, hey, we have a performance art installation.
It's called Frustration of Memories Past. Yeah, it's wild. We're going to be doing it from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. taking donations.
I mean, the statement really is like life is frustrating, and that's why you quit a lot of things.
Yeah, some stuff you give up on. I mean, this is some things you just leave behind and never pick back up.
And you know what? I know you. I can feel your frustration, but I'm frustrated that I can't play this whole song either.
I really want to. I'm sitting here just like, know it. I'm just thinking to myself, know it.
But I got to be honest. I don't know what configuration I need to put my fingers in to make the next thing happen. You know?
Yeah, doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. And then you're over there trying to pull a rabbit out of a hat, and it keeps falling out.
Yeah, it falls out the bottom of the hat. We're going to go off the air real quick. StreetFightRadio.com if you want to hear more of what we do. There will be more after this, and you can listen to it. iTunes, is a good, is another place to find us, or Stitcher Radio app. Just look for Street Fight Radio. If you're diligent enough, you can find a way to get us 2 times a week. We do a show Thursday at 8 p.m. on WCRS, and then a weekend edition on StreetFightRadio.com. Made it just in time. 1 second to go.
I know. I was getting real close to cussing there. Because I now want to do this. This is what is performance art? Do you think that's performance art? Like, we'll tell people it's a magic and music extravaganza.
Dude, you're allowed to write up a paragraph of whatever you want, man. Like, there's paintings that have placards next to them that give you a good chunk of what the person was going for, and then you're like, oh, this makes sense to me now. So yeah, certainly, yeah. I think we got a show. We're going to take this on the road now.
If anybody can get to Columbus and display a talent that they tried to get but gave up on, then you're more than welcome to be a part of this show.
It'll be cathartic. Everybody can just share. You have people that will be putting down their model kits. They'll have like all these unpainted models.
Yeah, and here's the thing about this. This show sounds great to me. Like something, yeah. I would like to go see. But I know that there are other people that probably don't want to hear me play out of tune versions of their favorite 90s or their favorite nu metal songs. And Brett try to make something disappear.
Yeah, it grates on the nerves, but I like the idea. I think it's a good place to start. We can probably use some of that for the betterment of our live show that we eventually do.
Yeah, if any of you own an art gallery and you're looking for a show of a couple of guys doing some things they gave up on, I think this is all I care about now. If you listen to the show,
I want to do good stuff. If an art gallery is going to host us, I want to do something that people want to see. I'm not trying to say an F you to the art institution for picking up such a stupid idea.
Yeah. So if anybody else out there has any, at least send us tweets. I would love to hear at Street Fight WCRS, right?
Street Fight
Radio on Twitter is Street Fight WCRS.
Correct.
On Twitter, you can find us there, or I'm Murder Brian and he's Brett Brettpain. I'm Murder Brian Murderbryan. I would love to hear from anybody what you guys have given up on out there. I wanted to do martial arts, but I always was like, I think I'd probably give up on that. Like, that seems like a giving up thing for me.
Hard to show up every single week and kick your heart out like that. Yeah, I mean, when does it end? What are you trying? You going for the belts? You know, then you're in that system. I did martial arts too, if you want to go into that. I learned from the Ernie Reyes family, the Ninja Turtles. The famous Donatello from the movies. I learned at his school in a strip mall.
Okay, Taekwondo. So at this show also, Brett will do a karate exhibition.
Some of my forms. I'm going to do some of my Taekwondo forms. I would get back into. I want to do kung fu real bad. I don't care if it's a Steven Seagal type thing to do. Why not? You know. Maybe you can still do it, man.
You're not going to grow a goatee, and you're not going to join a police department and gain 100 pounds and start wearing a kimono.
True. It's going to be a different thing. Honestly, I'm waiting on that Tai Chi. Like, you got to be 55 or older, but it's the type of thing that I want to do. Just, like, heavy breathing and kind of wafting your arms through the air. Like, I kind of just want to do Tai Chi, but I got to wait. I'm, like, 20 years away, so I got to find something in the meantime.
Yeah, karate. I think you should do karate.
Karate has some pretty good representation. But Jet Li does the kung fu that always beats the hell out of karate.
Okay, then do Jet Li. Do the Jet Li stuff.
Okay.
I'm going to do the Gracies. My life.
Rolling?
Yeah, in my life, the Gracies were the scariest people in the world for a long time.
They were killers. They were killers. Either they'd get you on the ground and yeah, submit you.
Either that or if I could somehow get trained by Ken Shamrock, I would love that.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's like we're going to have money maybe in the future. And I always think about like what if I do want to spend like what where do you spend your time? Like I'm a person that feels like sometimes I haven't accomplished very much. But like where would I want to spend time in investing it in, you know, in things that you gave up and then also things that you always wanted to try? Like it really bugs me the way that people wish they were, you know, our daughter's age again, because I do not want, like, it's nightmarish what happened to me at your kid's age in the following years. And you just saw a picture of yourself as a teenager, you know.
I look good.
Yeah. You look a good example of on the kids to stay away from. Like, I would print that up and show that to my daughter and say, stay away from these ones.
Yeah, the pants are so dirty. It's crazy. These pants are really baggy, first of all. But I do not know. I had to been wearing them for 6 months.
But I don't like the way that adults always obsess over, like, oh, man, it was greater when I was a kid. Ooh, I was doing – everything was so much better. Like, they've lost out on time. And like, it just creates an attitude that's – I don't like a lot of people in my peer group because of it. Because people are kind of saying, like, I gave up on this thing and I can't do – I don't have time for anything else. I don't want to make time. I won't prioritize it or whatever reasons they have. And then they just are sour and bitter about it. Like, you don't have to be the best. You just have to keep trying.
So I have this losing weight goal, and I have some fitness goals, and I have two of them that are like really high level ones for me, where I'll feel really good if I like it'll almost be accomplished if I pull them off. And one of them is to be able to do a super kick without looking pathetic, and the other one I want to do an enziguri.
Oh, you want to be able to get horizontal. You need some jumping.
Yeah, I want to jump and kick, be able to jump and kick somebody in the back of the head. Like, I like that. Like, I love that move, and I always think, like, that's pretty much the height of cool fitness and fighting, you know? But the super kick thing,
there's a lot
especially.
Of finesse. That's a lot of finesse. I don't know. You need some real finesse to pull that one off, to stand on somebody's chest and then pause, smile at them, and then whack them in the back of the head.
But the super kick thing to me is a flexibility that is attainable, number one. And number two, like, something that as I right now in my current incarnation can't even come close. I don't come near it.
Yeah, we don't, you know, I don't know, man. We have a really shitty relationship with health. I don't know. There's just nothing out there that promotes it. You know, there's these workarounds, and people go to desk jobs and they have money and they call themselves adults, and then they get to sit, you know, they sit on a chair all day and then go home, sit on a couch. And it's shit, man. It fucking ruins us. We lose so much flexibility. I've been real bad on the working out, but I'm going to get back into it, especially I haven't been drinking as much recently, which has made me just like naturally lose some weight where I feel like my skin's tighter again, which feels good. And I'm like, I have some hemp proteins that I'm trying out. And so I'm like, man, I need to really get on that pull up bar again. But I'm no longer behind the eight ball financially, like where I was scrambling at the end of last year to just make as much money as possible. So I'm going to try to prioritize fitness again. I feel like that's something that you have to have a lifelong relationship to. And it's taken me too long to figure that out. And I had a good run there. But, you know, it's time to just get back on and, you know, until the end of my days, stay active. Because you got to get into beast mode. Like, you have to go rah! Like, you have to just go there. You have to get your heart racing. It's like what we're part of, what we're designed for, you know? Like, that just...
That's true.
It's just the aggression, man, and it keeps you, you know, you don't feel so meek. You know, you feel like you can accomplish more once you are working towards something and actually making gains, man. It's all about gains, not just like numbers and inches or pounds or anything like that, but just feeling better every day. Fucking sensible eating, dude. Sensible eating, too. Right?
Yeah.
This is a health fitness podcast hosted by Brett Payne and Brian Quinby. We're going to tell you about all the mistakes we've made our entire lives and as we try to work towards something that might save us a few years on the end here. Make it not so cripplingly bad. Like you said, stretching. Go ahead, sorry.
We gave some parenting advice tonight on the air, you know?
I know. This is a grown folks show now. This is like, this is cruising in a middle age type show. I got a birthday coming in next month. You just had one. It's time to get mature. I'm trying to get seasoned around here.
Wait till tomorrow.
Wisdom to share.
Wait till tomorrow. We're going to be effing and assing. And
yeah, we're going to get crunk. Yeah, I don't, man. I think that, oh, fuck. I forgot what I was going to say. I had something else to say about that.
You know what? We've done a good show. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. And, I want to say I'm going to mess with the order some. I know it's bothersome because of the holidays, there were missed shows and things like that. But in order for me to make sure the show gets on WCRS, we're going to record the No Cuss show first on Tuesday night like we normally do. I'm going to be able to make sure that posts to the radio show every week because right now someone else has been picking up my slack. And we'll get that to you as well. When Brian and I record the Cuss show tomorrow on Wednesday night, I need a little bit of time. I got shop reports to do. I got food to make. I've got houses to clean. I'm going to get it to you on Friday is going to be the day for that. I can slough off a little bit more and get in me work. So I'm going to start. We're going to start doing that from now on, but still two times a week. And, you know, Brian's even talking about squeezing a third one in here, maybe cooking up some ideas. And I'm working on ideas. And together we want to go live at some point. We want to talk about moving in that direction, and we need help from anybody that listens. You know, we don't do ads on the show. We're not going to go do it because some, you know, craft brewery is paying the bill. We do things on our terms. And Street Fight comes to you two times a week, has for almost five, it'll be 5 years this year, I believe. And without a doubt, it shows up every single week, and you're going to get that no matter what. And so, well, we want to expand, and we need help from you. So streetfightradio.com/support. In there is a few ways. If you just want to share a link, you can do that. Or if you want to donate money, you can do that. Bitcoins, too. But we're going to move forward and hopefully bring even more amazing Street Fight Radio stuff as we, you know, get back on our Eat Sensible grind, get back on our pushing weight grind, you know, muscling up again.
The
Street
material.
Fight will come too. Yeah, the Street Fight will increase in Street Fight quality because I'm crushing it, man. I'm working on getting this mature life thing down, making sure the house is all clean and good, food's made. I'm getting, you know, Street Fight has been handled. All of the social media has been intact, and I've been well ahead of the eight ball. So if you're on Instagram, at Street Fight Radio is the place to find us. I share a few pictures a day, funny shit. Cars, weird pictures from history, propaganda posters, whatever it is. All of those pictures, they do go to Twitter, at Street Fight WCRS, where you get those photos, along with articles ranging from self-help to hardcore political to opinion to media, whatever it may be. It's the articles that I find that are you know, creating a buzz and people are talking about and are interesting. And if you got anything to share, please let us know. We always want to have a discussion, a dialogue at streetfightradio@gmail.com is our email if you want to get any long format or even be anonymous. And then I never mention it, so big shout out to the Tumblr and the people on Tumblr that retumble the show, streetfightwcrs.tumblr.com. We're over there. All of the shows post there, folks. So if you're a Tumblr kid out there, and you need Street Fight, you can play it right there in Tumblr. You never have to leave. You can stay right in the brony section of Tumblr. Get your Street Fight in. And so we're there for everybody. If there's a way you're not getting Street Fight, please let us know. I want to make it available to everybody. We do appreciate all of you that reach out and say thanks because we appreciate it 10 times more, I promise. Is that good?
I like it, man. Good stuff.
Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow, later this week at Street Fight. Peace.
Yeah, fuck you, your mom, and everything else.
Free to go. You
killed this track. That's my best friend. That's my best friend. Bless me. Big old booty bitch messes from Texas. What's necessary? I'm a skeet all the nigga gonna catch me. Catch me. And that's my bestie, my bestie, my best friend. Go best friend. Nigga living TTG and everything is still on fleek. Bad bitch rolling with me. She gon' smile cause she on fleek. $100,000 at my pay. My shit on fleek. Yeah. Take them boy to school. Swagger number three. Bitch, I'm bleeding back like a bumblebee. Holla, 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 nigga, proceed. I'ma eat that booty just like groceries. Eat on that booty. Lay that bitch down like they do it. No type of bitch eat that wood, eat that wood. Supply your bitch, I got pistols, no wood. I want tacos that are making good. Helicopter chopping with the buzz. Stomp them rats inside them if they nudge. Bang that other side, nigga, curse. And my reefer louder than a speaker. Yeah, my niece is hanging with the beaters. If you ever find a better keeper. 37 cameras for the sneakers. Going out like Oscar Benny Seagull. Send a cop, I can't wait to mistreat him. Forcing your hoe, I can't wait to mislead him. And beat him, they my people. That's my best friend, that's my best friend. Bless me. Big old booty bitch messes from Texas. What's necessary? I'm a skeet all the nigga gon' catch me. Catch me. And that's my bestie, my bestie, my best friend. Go best friend. Nigga living TTG and everything is still on fleek. Bad bitch rolling with me, she gon' smile cause she on fleek. $100,000 at my pen, my shit on fleek. Yeah. Let me tell you how I spend. Couple hundreds today. I done cut back on that lean, I'm on that Hennessy. Don't do no talking when you sell, you better shoot in his face. I got a 100 bitches that can't wait to replay.
Michael Jackson, nigga, Michael Jackson, moonwalking.
The slime for me, two shots. Me a horny goat, I'm bullying at the pool stop. No, I can't get arrested, cause I'm talking about my necklace. I'ma put that bitch in a. My little sister, dog, he don't like it. Chums and give me love. What up, bud? Hit your cup. Call my bud. Bring my buck. Your crew suck. Don't got bucks. These ain't drugs. Nigga,
that's my best friend. That's my best friend. Bless me. Big old booty bitch messes from Texas. What's necessary? I'm a skeet all the nigga gon' catch me. Catch me. And that's my bestie, my bestie, my best friend. Go best friend. Nigga living TTG and everything is still on fleek. Bad bitch rolling with me, she gon' smile cause she on fleek. $100,000 at my pen, my shit on fleek. Yeah.